This is June 3rd, and the topic this month is love.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. We always start with that. I hope that it's slowly sinking into you that you truly are gods in the making, that you know that ye are gods, and that you are doing something about that in your own consciousness. You are responsible for that. You must change your thinking. You know how many times I tell you that the world is very convincing, and it's insidious sometimes. Things just sink in so easily. I take yoga, and I do it almost every morning. And they preach there the whole idea of unity, and the whole idea of energy coming through you and all this stuff, and that you are one with this power. Yesterday morning, I believe it was, they were playing God Sees Us at a Distance. Whatever that song is, does anyone? God Sees You at a Distance? Well, you see, that's complete race mind, and if God is seeing you at a distance, that's putting God outside of you somewhere. So here these people are teaching one thing, but they're listening to something else. That's going into everybody's consciousness. You have to be able to become aware of what you're hearing and what's going in to this mind of yours. And the world loves to put the wrong things into your mind. When I was a child, one of the favorite things that songs at that time was, God sends down his love on the wings of a pure white dove. Meaning, again, God is outside of you. This teaching is a teaching of unity. We teach that the innermost God and the outermost God are one in the same. There is not a God outside of you watching you do anything. You are watching yourself. You have to know that. That's why I tell you to teach yourself that you are connected to God, that you are one with God, that all you are is God, that you are not all that God is, so that you start to realize that, because immediately the world wants to take that away from you and wants to tell you no, that you are not connected to this power. That power is out there and it's watching you and it's sending down things and it's doing this and it's doing that. So don't buy into that. And when your own mind starts to tell you that, you have to correct that in your own thinking. You have to correct that in your own thinking. You see? The only way you're ever going to come to that realization that you are one with God is to constantly think about it and allow it to go into your consciousness. Because the world will not teach you that, and I don't believe there's very many institutions out there that are going to teach you that you're one with God. The Christian churches very seldom will do that. Even though in the Bible it says, know that ye are gods, they have didacted that out somehow. They do not tell you that in church. They do not want you to know that in church, because once you know that, you no longer need them. This teaching also, people say, oh, the room isn't filled up, this isn't going on, this isn't whatever. This is not a teaching to keep you in bondage the rest of your life. It is not a teaching for you to think that you need to come here. I love it when you come here. But even if there was no one here, I'd just keep on talking anyway, because I need this for my own self. So this is why I do it, because not only do I enjoy it, I need to know this. So I teach it, and I listen to what I'm saying, you see. And it's going into my consciousness as it's going into your consciousness. So bear that in mind, that it, if it's to be, it has to be up to you to be able to do that. So this teaching is always going to be teaching unity, that you are one with this thing that we call God, and that you are gods in the making. And when other churches don't want to tell you that, That's all well and good. Either go to them or don't go to them. But if you want to improve your life in any way, and when I say your life in any way here, what I'm talking about is that consciousness. You know, I said this before. We all want money. We want loving relationships. We want creative self-expression. And we want good health. Those are the things in the four corners of your life. And everyone wants those items. You can have those items. But you have to know first that what you really want is peace of mind. When I was a child going to the Lutheran church, they ended every service with, "Now, the peace of mind which passes all understanding." I have no idea what that meant. Perhaps I don't even know it today, what the peace that passes all understanding. But what the conclusions that I have come to about this thing called peace is this thing called peace of mind, that your mind lets you alone, that it stops picking on you, that it stops telling you that you're no good. It stops telling you you can't do something. This is what you really want from life. You can have all the money in the world. You can have everything that you want in the world. But if you cannot control your thinking, if you cannot shut off your mind and your thinking, you are not going to enjoy your life. You are not going to enjoy your life. So, with that said, Paula, would you read this and pass it on?
Nothing is happening to me. I am the happiness.
Nothing is happening to me. I am the happiness.
Nothing is happening to me. I am the happiness. Nothing is happening to me. I am the happiness.
Nothing is happening to me. I am the happiness.
Nothing is happening to me. I am the happiness.
Nothing is happening to me. I am the happiness.
Nothing is happening to me. I am the happiness.
Nothing is happening to me. I am the happiness.
Nothing is happening to me. I am the happening.
And nothing is happening to me. I am the happening. A friend of mine gave me this when I was first studying to become a minister. And this lady had an absolutely unusual type life. She was Irish. She was from Brooklyn. Her and her husband owned a tavern there. And she had seven children. When they were all grown and her husband died, she sold the beer room, or whatever you call this thing, saloon. And she decided she would join a motorcycle gang. And she joined a motorcycle gang. And then she decided she would become a lesbian. Then she became a lesbian. Now, when I knew her, she was working at Barnard College as a house mother for a sorority. And they absolutely loved her. She changed her life. She changed everything. But she knew that nothing was happening to her. She was the happening. And that's what you need to know. That's another thing that this teaching is about. You are the cause under your own experience. You are causing everything. If you think anything on the outside of your life is causing something, correct that thinking. You have to correct it. Everything that's on the outside of life has to start on the inside of life. Has to start on the inside of life. If you look out and think, oh, there's the problem. There's never a problem on the outside of life. There's only a problem on the inside of life. And people try to correct what they see on the outside. You cannot do anything on the outside of life. You have to correct what's going on the inside and start to change your mind about who you are and what life is all about. And that starts always on the inside. So, know that you are the happening. You are causing everything that's in your experience. I used to tell people, and I still do, I take credit for anything good that's happening within a 100-mile radius of myself. I've caused that. I've caused that with my thinking. The other thing about this thing called consciousness. We want to change the world. Don't change the world. Change yourself. The world is fine the way it is. It's fine the way it is. So how are we going to change the world? And how are we going to change ourselves? We're going to do that by starting to love ourselves. And that's the title or the theme for this month is love. And we all have different ideas of what love is. We've all heard about love all our lives. Universal love, this type of love, that type of love. Now we have to do something different. At the very beginning of civilization and the different institutions that came out and built up a very strong following and so forth, their main emphasis always was in loving someone else and finding love through somebody else. Always that. The Human Potential Movement in the 70s was about potential and all the potential that was inside of you. But they never said that you have the potential to love yourself. That was always on the outside of life. Love, you're always trying to find, you see. Find love here, find love there. Drink this soda and you'll find love and happiness and all that. You're only going to find love on the inside of you. And you're going to have to learn to love yourself. Now, many people go through life thinking, oh, if somebody would just love me, if my parents would have loved me more, if this would have happened in this, if I had all this love, I would be different. Well, that may be all well and true. But now you have to know that you are no longer that child. You are no longer that adolescent. You are now an adult. And now it's your responsibility to love yourself. And it's your responsibility to forgive yourself for all these things that you hold against yourself. By learning to love yourself, remember, loving yourself is the highest form of worship you can give God. Because why? You are God. You are God. How many people throughout our lives have we heard the expression, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you? Well, that's a given, that's a known. Now you have to bring that down and say, ah, God loves me. And I am God, therefore I love myself. And start loving yourself. And don't allow your mind to pick that apart all the time. Because you allow race mind to seep in to your consciousness and start telling you that you are not whole and complete and perfect. You have to know constantly that you're whole and complete and perfect, regardless of what is going on. It's always the idea that the dish is never dirty. There may be dirt on the dish, but the dish is never dirty. So that part of divinity inside of you, that love that is inside of you, it's never been touched by anything on the outside of life. So it's pure. So go to the center of your being. Find that. And you can do that. And how do we do that? By using our imagination. By saying, what would it be like if I really loved myself? I am 67 years old. I don't want to do another day, another minute without loving myself. I spent too many years not loving myself. Now, were they wasted years? Perhaps, perhaps not. But I will tell you, when you're on the road to loving yourself, your whole life changes. You change. You really start to see things differently. You start to love not only yourself, then you start to love everybody else. You see, so we don't have that, oh, he's horrible and this is going on and that's going on. Because you realize that everyone is love and you are love. You have to start knowing that about yourself. That you absolutely are one with this thing called God, which we equate with love. And if you were created in love, you must be love. See? So think of that when you're thinking about yourself. And when your mind says, and my mind does this to me, oh, Dallas, you shouldn't have done that. I tell it to shut up. Sorry, I love myself too much to do that to myself. I love myself too much to do these things. You see? You have to train yourself. And your mind starts to listen to you instead of you listening to your mind. Remember, it boils down to you're not your mind. Your mind is yours to use. Your mind is yours to use. Race mind. 2,000 years ago, decided that they would invent different religions and so forth. And they invented it. Man-made did not come from God. God never said, let's build a church, let's have a religion, let's do any of this stuff. God said, let's learn to love ourselves. You see? Let's learn to love ourselves. Once you know that. But anyway, back to the institutions and so forth. They invented all these religions and so forth that teach that you are sinful. But they're created. It's a created thing. Why do you want to listen to those people anymore? They did that. That's over and done with. Why are we constantly perpetuating that idea that we are sinful, that we are this and we are that, instead of perpetuating the idea that you are total love and that you are connected to this thing called God? It's just a different way of thinking. It's a different way of thinking. And simply because millions of people think that God is outside of them, millions of people think that they are sinners and so forth, you do not have to join that thinking. You do not have to join that thinking. You can start to think independently on your own. You have to remember that you are an individualized expression of God. An individualized expression of God. You are allowed to think any thought that you want to think. So choose the thought that you want to think. Learn to control your thinking. It's all done with that. Remember my Aunt Catherine, 96 years old, never knew metaphysics. For years I sent her daily word and so forth, but other than that, she never went to church. She never did any of that stuff. Always in a good humor. Always a wonderful person to be around and all. I said to her one day, Aunt Catherine, how do you do that? She lived by herself to the end. But she looked at me and says, well, tell us. I control my thinking. She fell into that on her own. You see? But we don't remember that, do we? We allow our minds to take us somewhere. We allow our minds to beat us up. We allow our minds to tell us different, unusual stories. I had tea with my friend Beverly on Tuesday. Beverly is 86 years old. And she was having a difficult time with a friend of hers. And I said to her, and she's into metaphysics, by the way. Her mother and father were into metaphysics. She knew all the big people, Manly and all those. And I said to her, why don't you change that? Why don't you change your thinking about that? And why don't you see that person in love? And I said, simply at this moment in time, we are taught that all power is in the present moment. We're taught that to live in the present and so forth. But what we're not taught is presently something is going on. Presently. But when we see it presently, we think, oh, now it has to go on for the next 20 years. It doesn't. It's just so say to yourself, presently this is what's happening, but it's not going to stay here. Things come into existence to go out of existence. So I said to her, let's surround him with love. Let's see this man in love. Let's do that. Instead of letting your mind take you someplace else. He's never going to call. He's never going to talk to me again. This relationship with him is over. Blah, 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 blah. bring this back. Bring this back and think of love and see that. Well, while we were having tea, the phone rang, and it was the young man. It was the young man. And it was an issue over money. It was an issue over money. So what do we know? Money is never the issue. Money is never the issue. But as soon as she was able to change her mind, hold him in love, and see that, he responded. And you know what he said on the phone? Oh, I haven't been avoiding you because of this, this, and this, you say. Something, you know. And she had gone down the line. He doesn't like me anymore because of this, 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 and this, and this, and this, and this. Now that's what our minds do to us. That's what our minds do to us. We're always coming up with a scenario. See? And then we make that scenario come true. And that's why you are the happening. Nothing is happening to you. You are the happening. You are the cause under your own experience. And you have to constantly tell yourself that. And you have to constantly be aware. For years, I have said, you have to become a witness to your own thinking. You have to become a witness to your own thinking. You have to be able to see what your mind is doing to you and be able to stop it. Now, this woman, who also has been with Lazarus for 30-some years, does anyone know Lazarus? It's a man by the name of Jack Perrell. Jack Perrell. I think it's Jack Perrell. Her first name is Jack, I know. This disembodied spirit speaks through this man. And the spirit's name is Lazarus. It's all metaphysical stuff. He's quite good. I listen to him. It's the same way with Abraham. It's the same as Abraham. But she wasn't able at that moment, because she was listening to her mind, to come up with a different scenario. Because the mind is very convincing. Your mind will convince you. And her mind had convinced her that relationship was over and he was never going to call. But as soon as she was able to see and hold him in love, love herself, love him, love. Now what is that? Why is that so important? Because there's where you get that expression, love is always the answer. Love is always going to be the answer. You see? Love is always going to be the answer. We go around and we think, oh, well, there's an answer to this and there's an answer to that. There's only ever one answer, and it's going to be love. And there's only ever going to be one problem in your life, and it's going to be a God problem. You see how simple life is, but we want to make it complicated. The answer to anything, I don't care if it's money, if it's health, relationships, whatever it is, you have to sit down and start loving. Because love is going to be the answer to that problem. And when we say it's only a God problem, it's because you're not loving yourself enough. You're not loving this thing called God enough to allow something to happen for you. I've said so many times, if you're not getting what you want, it's because your God is too small. You must kick that God out and get a bigger God. We are talking about something here that's called infinite. Infinite. God is always going to be beyond thoughts and words. But yet we want to start always to describe God. God, as the ancients said, was no thing or nothing. No thing or nothing. But our human mind, and race mind in particular, wants to start to describe something. As soon as you start to describe something that's infinite, it starts to become finite. It starts to become finite. And you cannot do that. You must always know that this thing that we're talking about is so infinite, so vast, so intelligent, so filled with life and energy, that our small minds cannot comprehend that. That our small minds cannot comprehend that. Now, one of the other little mistakes that we all make is We think this thing, God, finite or infinite. We're finite. We want to bring infinite down to the finite. The infinite cannot fit into the finite, but the finite can fit into the infinite. And you must take yourself to the infinite, not try to pull God down. You must always go up. That's the idea of raising your consciousness. That's the idea of coming up with a bigger thought, a better thought about yourself and about this thing called life and God. You must start to practice bigger thinking, bigger thinking. And when you think, oh, this is it, there's always more. There's always more. And every day, we don't see this and we don't hear this on television or in the news and so forth. Wonderful things are being discovered. Every day something new is being discovered. And yet we think that we have found everything and that we know everything. New life forms are being discovered every day that we never knew existed. You see, there's tons, because this thing called God is infinite. And we're never going to know it all. And the little bit, and I think I said this once before, this real mind of ours, this finite mind of ours, thinks it has something solved all the time and thinks that it knows everything. The human mind and the human intelligence and all the books and all the libraries is only about 1% of what's known on any subject. But we think 1%, we know the 100% of something. If you go to a doctor and he tells you this, you think, oh, that's 100%. It's 1% of what his knowledge. There's 99% something else. So think of that. Think of that. And go back to that word. I just love it because that was an aha experience with me when I figured out presently. Presently, I'm not feeling well. Presently, this is happening to me. Presently, the doctor has told me this. It does not mean that it has to go down the line. But we immediately take that and say, oh, well, that's it. That's it. Instead of knowing it's just presently. It's just presently. Everything that came into existence came into existence to go out of existence. That means your virus that hit you came into existence to go out of existence. A cold comes into existence to go out of existence. But we fail to see that and we think, oh, now I've got that forever. And what have I told you, if you've noticed? What has the medical profession done to every little ailment that people get today? What have they tacked on to every little ailment? That's chronic. You'll have that the rest of your life. No, presently. Don't tack chronic onto things. Why do you think they tack chronic onto things? Because if they said, oh, presently, you're only going to have this for the day, or you're only going to have this for 3 days, they could only sell you 3 days worth of pills. But if they tack the word chronic onto it, now you have to take these pills the rest of your life. See? Presently. Things. Presently. My situation is this. Presently, I don't have any money. Presently. Doesn't mean it's your future. Doesn't mean that it's going to go on forever. It's just presently. Presently, this is happening. And it came here into existence to fade out of existence. To fade out of existence. So the only thing that is permanent is this thing called love. It's the only permanent thing there is. And we, as human beings, think love is between people and this is going on and that's going on, or many people think it's sex. I don't know what people think love is. And as I said, perhaps I don't know exactly what love is. But I know that it's a feeling, and I know when you can put that feeling and feel that feeling, your mind starts to interpret things differently. And you start to get this thing called peace. There's a book called Loving What Is. And it's a loving everything that's in front of you. Just learn to love it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to do. But if you love it, look at it and just love it and say it's there presently, you can move on to the next thing. But we see something we don't like, and then we start to pick at it, and we start to do anything, and we start. What you resist is always going to persist in your life. Always going to persist in your life. Back to this yoga class, a young lady who's just joined it, every day she comes up to me. And she says, well, how long have you been in this and that, this, that, and the other thing? And did you have this wrong with you and that wrong with you? No, I have a lower back here, and it's my back, and my back's very weak, and I have to watch this, and I have to do that. And this. I looked at her, and I said, you know, there's a completely different way to look at this thing. I said, as long as you keep telling yourself that your lower back hurts and that this is wrong with you and that's wrong with you, it's going to stay there. I don't care how much yoga you take. How much yoga you take. Everything is in consciousness, people. It's not in your body. Your body has no causation of its own. Only your consciousness or your mind has causation. So, what are you thinking that's causing that back pain? Yes, yoga is going to loosen that up. It's going to do things. But unless you change your consciousness about it, it is not going to leave your life. Why do you think people get over something and they get it right back again? Because they've never changed their consciousness about themselves. They've never changed their consciousness about themselves. The biggest one is weight. The biggest one is weight. People cannot change their consciousness about weight. If you change your consciousness about weight, you will lose weight. And you will be at your right and perfect weight. You don't change it, but you go to Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers. And you eat all their food and you do everything and all this weight goes off. But you've never changed your mind about it. You never changed your mind about it. About yourself and your eating habits and so forth. It's always in consciousness. Now, the little thing about Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers is they only work on a 1% success rate. Now, they make millions of dollars and they stay very busy with repeat business. It's repeat business because they don't teach people to change their consciousness. And we see this constantly. We see this out in the world. So if you know that, think, what is my consciousness doing? What is happening in me that's causing this? Because I am the happening here. I am the cause under my own experience. So if you sit down and really learn to love yourself and so forth, your consciousness will start to change because love always brings up anything unlike itself. Love always brings up anything unlike itself and casts it out. So when you're using your imagination with that one, all that stuff you see, let it go out of you. Let it go out of you. You see? Replace it with a loving feeling about yourself. A loving feeling about yourself. You know, people think that in a relationship, the love between two people, absolutely wonderful. Absolutely wonderful that love's there. But if you don't have that, learn to love yourself. Learn to love yourself. You see? Then somebody else is going to love you. You know? If anyone here is looking for a partner or something, you must become that person. You must become the person you're looking for. If you don't become the person you're looking for, you'll find somebody, but they'll be exactly like you, because like always attracts like. So if you want the right and perfect person in your life, become the right and perfect person. It's always done with you inside here and with this thing called love. But we're not taught that. We were never taught to love ourselves. If we did it as children, you were taught, who do you think you are? You can't be. You'll be conceited. You'll get this. You'll get that. That woman's suck up. She thinks too much of herself. That was a great expression when I was a child. Well, they think too much of themselves. How can you ever think too much of yourself? If you know that you are God in the making, if you know that you're connected to this thing called God, how could you ever think too much of yourself? How could you ever think too much of God? You can't think too much of God because God is infinite. So learn to see yourself as infinite and unlimited in things. So when your mind strikes to tell you that that's not true, you have to correct that. So all that garbage that you have carried around and those conversations that you have carried around through your life that come up and those small still moments and so forth to beat you up, get rid of them or release them. And whoever told you that stuff, they weren't trying to be malicious. Somebody told them that. It's a wonderful story about a lady who moved into town. She had two children. She thought, well, I'll just send them to church. And the closest church she sent them to was a metaphysical church, a science of mind church. And when they came back home, she said to them, well, what did you learn today in church? And they said, oh, we learned wonderful me, wonderful me. She said, well, we're never going to send you back to that church again. We're not going to send you back to that church again. Because we can't handle that, you see. I doubt my parents were taught that. They had lovely parents. My grandparents were lovely. But I doubt anyone taught them that you must learn to love yourself. Because it's always taught on the outside of life. And that's not what this teaching is. This teaching is always on the inside of life. It's teaching you to love yourself, to accept yourself just the way you are. And if you can't accept yourself just the way you are, what is happening in your life? Very little, you see. Because then you have to go around pretending you're happy, pretending you're this, pretending you're that. When you accept yourself just the way you are and love yourself, no one can hurt you. No one can hurt you. You see? You don't care what people talk. You don't care what people say about you. You know who you are. Who are you? You want to start with, I'm a child of God. I'm an emissary of light and love. I'm a God in the making. This is who you really are. You must hold yourself in the highest of esteem. In the highest of esteem. If you don't hold yourself in the highest of esteem, do you think anyone else is going to? No. No one else is going to. What's a good example of that? You're going to a party, and they live in a great big mansion. And you say to yourself, oh, I can't take an expensive gift. They think so much of themselves, they live in this mansion, I have to take an expensive gift to them. Now you are invited to somebody that lives in a shack, you say, well, I'm only going to take them this. I'm going to take them something. You're not going to take an expensive gift to somebody that lives in a shack. So you think you're going to get an expensive gift if you don't have high self-esteem? If you don't hold yourself in the highest of esteem, you think somebody's going to give you something wonderful? No, they are not. Because like attracts like. It's done in consciousness. It's always going to boil down to that. Consciousness, consciousness, consciousness. Mind, mind, mind. Your mind, your mind, your mind. And your consciousness, your consciousness, your consciousness. You see? So what is going on always inside of you? What are you thinking about yourself? What are you thinking about yourself? Are you holding yourself in the highest esteem? Are you knowing that you're a great actor? Are you knowing that you're always successful? That you are success itself? That there's no such thing as failure? There can't be a failure in the mind of God. It's an impossibility. And humans never fail, by the way. Only events fail. Humans. There's no such thing as a failed human. But we think that, don't we? We allow that into our consciousness. So hold yourself in this highest possible state of esteem. And start feeling love for yourself. Start allowing yourself to love yourself. Instead of letting the mind say, well, you're not quite there yet. You need this added to you. You need to do this yet. You need to do that yet. Nothing can be added to you. Nothing can be added to you. You are whole and complete and perfect. You have been since the very moment of creation. Since the very moment of creation. That's why we teach what? I am worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter. With that, let's do the matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. Yes. So remember that for centuries, you were taught to love outside of yourself. You were taught to love other people. When I was in the Boy Scouts, what did they teach? They taught God first, others second, and self third. God first, others second, and self third. Now, I'm changing that around, and I'm telling you to love yourself first, to think of yourself first, and to hold yourself in the highest of esteem. If you don't do that, then it's the blind leading the blind. And you'll both fall down the hole, you see. It's the idea. You are number one. You are number one. And you have to know that. And that's not in this conceited way. You're not going to get on a soapbox and start pounding your chest and telling everyone how marvelous you are and that you're the king of the world and all this kind of garbage that people think is going to happen to you. What is going to happen when you really love yourself, you're going to find compassion and you're going to find humility. And you're going to see that it's a wonderful feeling. Love, compassion, and humility are wonderful feelings that go inside of you, that course through you. I've told you many times that feelings are the life of the organism. Feelings are the life of the organism. What do we mean by that? When you're starting to feel love inside of you, it's coursing through every cell in your body. And your body and these cells start to tingle with this love. And you know that that is true. We never seem to recognize and feel these loving feelings with the intensity that we feel a negative feeling. Now, you can feel a negative feeling. You know that. You know you can feel a negative feeling. I could make you all feel bad right now. And you would start to feel bad. And you would feel that coursing through you. So why, when I tell you, I'll do an example. You're all awful. I never saw such a bunch of muttly people in my life. Honest to God, you look awful to me. You see, you start to feel that. You start to do something, goes through you. But when I say hold yourself in the highest esteem and learn to love yourself, you just sit there and let it go over you, wash over you. Learn to accept that. You don't accept it because you haven't heard it. And there's no hook inside to hook it on. But if somebody says something negative to you You have already a hook in there, and it hooks right on there, and it hangs. You mean, rotten person. I never saw anyone so ugly in my life. You're a wonderful individual. I think you're absolutely gorgeous. I think you're wonderful. Uh-huh. No hook. Just because you have to make hooks. You have to do that. That's why when somebody gives you a compliment, you either throw it back in their face or you say, well, I don't think they really meant that. I don't think they really meant that. When somebody gives you a wonderful compliment, say, thank you very much for noticing. Thank you very much for noticing. Then you're going to start to build a hook for it to hook on. You're going to find that inside of you. If you haven't heard that, and we never hear it enough, you're saying, you can't love somebody enough. You have to love people all the time. And you have to build that up. That's why the children, we have to start forming hooks inside of them right away so that they hear those wonderful compliments and they start to accept that. But if you weren't given compliments in your childhood, it's very unlikely that you have developed a hook to be able to hold it inside and to be able to accept it and say, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. The same. If somebody comes up and says, you're very handsome, do you have a hook to hook that on? Or do you think, oh, well, they don't know what they're talking about. I just looked at myself in the mirror and I don't think I'm very handsome. You have to develop those on your own. And then when you hear, it will stay inside of you. Otherwise, it never stays inside. It just washes right through you. Just washes through you. You're saying. We love those compliments. To get more of them. When somebody gives you one, repeat it. You know, all day long, repeat it to yourself. Build that up yourself inside of you. It's done with you. As anyone I told years ago, excuse me, about mirror work, are you looking in the mirror? Are you telling yourself how wonderful you are in the mirror? Are you looking into your eyes and letting it go inside of you? Or you're running by the mirrors. Oops, I can't see that. I can't see that. This 86-year-old woman that I told you the story about earlier also showed me she was to a friend's graduation. And she was just beautiful in a hat and the whole works. And Beverly is still a stunning woman at 86. And she said, now look at that. I'm an old woman. I look like an old woman. I said, not to me, you don't. She looked beautiful. She looked beautiful, you know. I don't know if Rose knows how beautiful she always looks. Doesn't she? You always look beautiful, Rose. Yeah. See, you have to know these things and you have to see these things. Learn to love yourself. You are an individualized expression of God. There has never been anyone like you before. There will never be anyone like you again. Therefore, you are truly the rarest of the rare. We are all unicorns because there's no one else like us. Think of that. There's no one else like us. We are absolute unicorns. The rarest of the rare. Hold yourself, people, in the highest of esteem. Learn to love yourself. Start inside loving yourself and let it move out from you so that you are always surrounded in an atmosphere of love wherever you go. And don't wait for somebody to recognize that till you do it. We don't have all that much time here. You see. We're going to go on forever. But why we are here on this plane of action, learn to love yourself. Many people say that is why we incarnated on this planet. To learn to love ourselves, to learn to find out who we are, that we are creative individuals, that we are one with this thing called God. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.